Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
You're listening to Escape Adulthood with Kim and Jason. It's September 10th, 2007, and this is show number 23. On today's show, we interview Penelope Trunk, the brazen careerist, about changes in the workplace and how you can avoid being overworked. We also talk about the rain, using stickers to help you escape adulthood, and some exciting new adultitis-fighting things coming out later this month.
Take me back to when I was a child, when everything was good enough, it was good enough for the wild. Coyote sleeps in the moonlight, rabbit goes by the day, snake winds around on a hot afternoon, and eagle flies on his way. Take me back now if you can. Take me back now to the land. People sleep in the moonlight, the children run in the daylight, and that feeling never dies, but it may go away for a while.
Welcome to the Escape Adulthood Podcast Show, your number one source for long-lasting, fast-acting, physician-approved adultitis relief. This is Jason with my wife Kim, saying hi from Studio 315 in Madison, Wisconsin. You can get in touch with us by sending an email to podcast@kimandjason.com or give us a call at 608-554-0803. You can leave a message and we'll play it on the show.
Yes. How you doing?
I'm wet.
You're wet?
Yes. Well,
not. No, you're not.
Okay. But
it has been
Madison
very wet.
Wet. Yeah.
And since the rain, we've gotten a new state bird in Wisconsin.
The mosquito.
The mosquito.
Yes. They are out of control.
Yeah. From my knee to my ankle on my right leg, I have counted 12 mosquito bites.
Yeah, it's.
I feel like I'm eight again. I'm like scratching. I'm like crazy.
I know. It's a part of childhood I don't enjoy reliving is the terrible mosquito bites all over the place.
I finally just, you know, said, okay, I'm putting on the greasy bug spray because I hate that stuff, but you have to or else you're just going to get eaten alive.
You will be captured and
carried away,
swept off into a swamp somewhere.
Yeah.
Which that actually leads perfectly into our mind bender for the
day.
Okay,
go for it.
Okay, so the mind bender, it's true. It's Wisconsin. Madison, okay, had set a record in August.
Okay.
All right, we're finally through August, but it was Madison's all-time wettest month ever.
Ever, ever.
15.18 inches.
It just kept raining.
To tell you, we weren't just making this up. The previous record was 9.49 inches in 1980.
Wow.
So we
like almost
blew that record out of the water.
50% more.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Wow.
And so far, we've had about 34 inches of precipitation this year, which is crazy.
So we had half the amount of precipitation for the whole year
just
in August?
Just in this month, yes.
Oh.
So we're setting records left and right. And the mindbender is, what is the average rainfall around the world?
Okay.
So you're taking into effect the rainforest. You're taking into effect
the deserts.
Places like Madison, Wisconsin, which is throwing the curve off now.
Yeah.
Did you?
No, I didn't.
You
look.
Didn't? Okay, you have
no.
A guess?
Oh, golly. So usually it's 34 for the whole year in Wisconsin?
We've had about that this year. I think it's like 35 to 40 something is our for the whole year.
Okay.
So we'll blow by that.
Well, I'm going to guess close to that because I bet we're like middle of the road. So if you're talking average, I'm going to guess maybe like 38.
38.
Yes.
Okay.
That's my guess.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll have to reveal it at the end of the show.
I'll have to keep listening.
That would be a good idea. I would like to invite everyone personally to subscribe to this podcast in iTunes. If you're not already, you can find it there. Search for Escape Adulthood. You'll find it. Some other business. If you have any comments, questions, or feedback on how we can make this show better, we would love to hear it. Send us an email at podcast@kimandjason.com or give us a call at 608-554-0803. And finally, help us out. Vote for us at Podcast Alley and tell a friend about the Escape Adulthood podcast. So all of those buttons are in the show notes. Make it so easy to subscribe, to vote,
email,
all of that stuff. We appreciate the help.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Good evening. Here is the news for Palace.
I look good. I mean, really good.
Hey, everyone! Come and see how good I look!
Okay, Kim, what news do you have for us today?
Well, I have an article by Penelope Trunk, who just happens to be our interview today.
Awesome.
So we're going to get more in-depth with all of this with her, but we wanted to give you a little preview of what it's all about. The article title is called Five Ways to Avoid Being Overworked, and I found it on Yahoo Finance.
Okay.
Overworked. Common trait of adultitis.
Yes. So there's five ways?
Five ways. Okay. Number one, force your boss to prioritize. Number two, if your boss won't prioritize, do it yourself. Number three, get comfortable with ignoring some tasks. Number four, stop complaining before it ruins your life. I like that one.
It's a good one.
Number five, take responsibility for being overworked, then change it. Okay?
Nice. Okay.
I should mention, she is the brazen careerist.
Yes.
Which, if you're not familiar with that term, means bold, kind of unconventional. So yeah. She tells it like it is. She's kind of...
She does. She's good for that.
Yeah. So this, you'll definitely get a feel of this when I talk about... One of the things I want to talk about is what she talks about with cutting corners, okay? If your boss won't prioritize, do it yourself. Cutting corners is the layman's term for prioritizing. And you probably perfected this in college. In fact, cutting corners is what college teaches best, okay? Over the course of the semester, you're assigned 16 400-page books to read. Plus, you had to write papers on all of them. You also had to show up for class and find out what was going on in tests. Of course, there's no way you could read all 6,400 pages you were assigned. That would be impossible in the allotted time. So you figured out what you could skip. You determined that the best way to get out of reading was to go to the lectures because the professors lecture about what interests them and the tests reflect their interests. Now back to the workplace where you have way too much to do. Here's how the losers handle it.
Losers. Don't believe.
They complain about being overworked. They keep accepting more work and trying to do it perfectly and complain.
I think I know a lot of losers.
And their bosses keep doing or dumping on them and saying there's nothing they can do about it, about the workload. Meanwhile, neither of them is prioritizing, neither of them is taking responsibility for the situation, and each is blaming the other. Now, if your boss insists on giving you more work than you can do, you should start cutting corners. Do everything very quickly and ignore the idea that it needs to be done perfectly. It can't be done perfectly. Your boss refuses to prioritize for you, so you'll have to do everything the best you can. Great advice.
Very simple, but very empowering and truthful.
Right. And it kind of gets down to, like you said, the honest reality of the situation, which is you're not the victim here.
Right.
You are a person with an opinion, and you can voice your opinion. And if your boss doesn't agree, then you just have to start doing things faster and not as perfectly. And life will continue. And if they don't like it that way, then they can talk to you about it.
Yeah. I think that's one of the biggest things is that people, you know, that's kind of funny, okay? We talk about being childlike, okay?
Right.
Here's the thing, though. When you're a kid, you're pretty much dependent on everyone else, and you rely on everyone else, and pretty much everyone else controls your life. When you go to bed, when you get up, when you do this,
which
when you go to church.
Kids hate, by the way.
Right?
Yeah.
So what's the deal with we get, you know, become adults, and then we just give up this power that now we have to be able to be in control of our destinies, and we act like we're still children.
Very childish.
The childish part of
it.
It's like, that's the cool part about being a grown-up, if there is anything cool about it. But there is. That's the cool thing about being an adult, is that now you have the power to choose what your life looks like.
Right.
Who you work for, what kind of things you're doing, how you spend your time. And I think getting control of that and owning that, like Penelope talks about, that's probably the number one thing that everyone needs to do to be able to like start heading in the right direction,
right,
where they want to go.
Definitely. I agree. And it's something that is so underrated to just even to start talking about. It's like you think that your life is so busy. Well, start looking at it and dissecting it and
right.
See what parts need to change. And it comes back to you.
Yep, always does.
Yep.
So we will make sure we put this article, link to this article in the notes so that
it's
you
very
can
meaty,
read
so
all five tips and get even more out of it. Well, since we're talking about such a great article on how to not be overworked, we figured why not just go straight to the source and interview the person who wrote it. So next up is an interview with Penelope Trunk, known as the Brazen Careerist, and she writes for a variety of different places, including Yahoo, which is where we got this article. So, and she also lives right in our backyard.
Yeah, so, which we didn't realize.
Without further ado, here is our interview with Penelope.
Penelope Trunk is the author of the book Brazen Careerist, The New Rules for Success. She is a career columnist at the Boston Globe and Yahoo Finance. Earlier, she was a software executive, and then she founded two companies. She has been through an IPO, an acquisition, and a bankruptcy. Before that, she played professional beach volleyball. Penelope Trunk writes career advice for the new generation of workers. She explains why old advice like pay your dues, climb the ladder, and don't have gaps in your resume is outdated and irrelevant in today's workplace. She has a reputation for giving advice that is counterintuitive but effective, like take long lunches, ignore people who steal your ideas, and stop vying for a promotion. Penelope, thanks so much for being with us here today.
Thanks for having me.
I am excited to be able to finally get you on the phone. Although we were just chatting, it's ridiculous that this is not in person because we're in the same town. But we're happy that it worked out, and we'll plan a lunch down the line. So
yeah, definitely.
We'll do that.
Okay.
The first question I have, and I think you're one of the things you're known for is, as Kim just read, you know, being able to give advice for this new generation of workers and how things are changing. And a lot of young people, young adults, are entering the workplace. Some of them are just getting into college, finishing up their last college year and whatnot. And many of them have no idea what they want to be when they grow up. It's kind of interesting. And you write a lot about the changing paradigm in the workplace. So it's, which is a lot different than it used to be with our parents, you know, 10, 20, 30
mm-hmm.
years ago. What advice would you have for someone just starting out in their career of what to expect? What advice would you have so they don't start going down the wrong path right away, I guess?
Well, I think that the important thing to know is that there are no wrong paths. The only wrong path is to think that there's a right path. And it used to be that when you graduate from college, you have to know what you want to do. But we know a lot about the psychology of the brain at this point, and we know that it's nearly impossible to know what you're going to want to do before you're 25. And in fact, only 12% of graduating seniors get it right on the first try.
Wow.
And those people who do get it right choose very conservative paths. So anybody who's like really being true to themselves and has new standards for what a job should be, for example, that entry-level work shouldn't be totally stupid and mindless, then they're not going to be able to take a conventional path, and they're probably not going to be one of those 12%. So once you know that you're not going to make it right on your first try, then the important thing becomes that you keep trying. And I think the path through people's 20s should be not about making a lot of money or getting the right answer or competing with your friends. It should be about self-knowledge because the faster you gather that self-knowledge, the more effective you can be at using it in adult life.
That's really fascinating. A lot of what we talk about is, you know, how can we use strategies from childhood to create lives that are less stressful and more fun? And it's interesting because what you're saying is to me exactly that childlike mentality of it's all about being curious and pursuing the things that you're interested in. And whereas the old way is kind of like, okay, now you're grown up, now you graduated college, you better have everything figured out.
Buck up and pick something and stick with it
right.
the rest of your
right,
life.
You
keep
know,
your head down and don't make any noise.
It sounds like what you're saying is what you would advise, and what science is saying is that it's really kind of an unrealistic expectation, and being more sort of curious, I guess is the best word I can go with, and just true to yourself.
Well, yeah.
it's such an interesting thing, though, because in childhood, I mean, you basically go to school, and for 18 years, you have the curiosity knocked out of you.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
You can't be like, Huck Finn, that's so interesting. I'd like to read all of Mark Twain this year. And people, your teacher will be like, forget that. You're
right.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Next time. And so you have to relearn to follow your own curiosity instead of following what people will give you an A for.
Yeah.
And I think what's so interesting is that girls are doing way better in school than boys are right now. It's much easier to get into college if you're a boy because the girls are just, like, totally kicking butt in school. Mm-hmm. But the boys do so much better in work because they didn't learn any of the, like, suppress on your curiosity traits that you need to do to succeed in school. So the boys go to college and play Xbox while the girls sit in the library. And the boys are learning social skills, and they're learning to, like, you know, go to the movie when they want to see a movie. And that's such an important thing to know as an adult.
Wow. That's a very good point.
I was talking to a local school here in Madison about how they don't have homework, and it just got me so giddy. I just think homework is totally ridiculous because it just doesn't give you any ability to teach yourself how to find what you want to do with your time.
Yeah. Right. Like you said, what if you wanted to read some more Mark Twain stuff? You could do that on your own time, but not if you have homework all night.
Especially the mindless, like, crossword puzzle stuff that they give you just to give you something. It's like, come on.
Right,
you know? Yeah, I so agree. Well, that kind of lends in... Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, talking about how girls, you mentioned how girls are in the library or, you know, studying where the guys are out with the social skills. And, you know, that's interesting because Jason and I talk a lot about the concept of people overworking, and, you know, women are notorious for this because they're balancing so many things, but men fight with it too. And I know you've recently written an article called 5 Ways to Avoid Being Overworked. And in our conversations with people living with adultitis, the challenge of being overworked is often the common denominator. You know, the first step that you share is talking about how do you force your boss to prioritize. And so how would you suggest doing this, and what happens if it doesn't work? Because I know a lot of people are like, yeah, right. You know,
right.
Like,
right.
My boss will never go for that.
Well, the first thing you have to do is prioritize for yourself. Like, do you want to be in a job that's overworking you constantly? Like, is that what you want to do for your life? Most people, their first priority is to not burn out. I mean, it's really, really destructive to burn out. And burning out is about not being able to achieve your priorities. Mm-hmm. So once you get your own priorities in line, which is like, totally goes back to what you're talking about in childhood, like, does a kid know that they don't want to go to bed? A kid at 8 o'clock knows their highest priority is, I don't want to go to bed. It's so clear to them.
Yeah.
But then, like, somehow we start losing that. So once you get your own priorities totally straight again, then it is so obvious that you have to force your boss to prioritize, because being with someone who doesn't know how to prioritize, it's total chaos.
Yeah.
They have no control over what's going on around them. And so, you know, okay, I give the 5 tips about how to prioritize, but the really big thing is to get a grip with your life and know what your life is about, and it will become so natural to demand that your boss be in line with that or you leave.
Right.
It's not hard at all. And people who say, my boss will never go for that, it's totally irrelevant. I mean, are you in control of your life or not? Your boss does not control your life.
Yeah.
And it's like you go through school and your parents bang into your head, your teacher controls your life. If your teacher says you're done with Mark Twain, you're done. And then you have to relearn. Like, no, what I care about is really, truly meaningful.
Yeah.
Right, and if you truly believe that those passions placed inside of you, like, are, you know, clues to your destiny and, you know, all that, like, following your dreams and what you're meant to do on this earth, it's like, it's so sad to see how most people are actually living.
Yeah.
Right, although I feel like a lot of that comes from fear, and, like, we all have fears about something, so I have a lot of empathy for... You know, I have my own little pet fears, too. Like, I have to eat a bagel when I'm doing something hard, and I know that's really lame. So I think that we all get stuck in our fears, and, like, if sometimes I think, like, I spout really hard about the stuff I don't have fears about, and, like, if someone else would spout about how they don't have to eat a bagel and what they do instead, then we would all benefit from listening to each other's strengths.
That's true.
And, like, that's a good way to get rid of our fears.
Right. Because someone else calling it out, and then you realize, boy, that's really not that scary after all, maybe, you know, and that's true.
Yeah, and just having good role models. Mm-hmm. You know, the role models that we give kids and are like, you know, I don't go to church or get your bar mitzvah done. Like, that's not really a role model.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, a role model is really, like, overcoming difficult things.
Yeah.
Getting past tough stuff.
That's right. Huge. I think that idea of forcing your boss to prioritize, like what you said, you got to kind of, like, get back to what you want and be in control of your life. And it's interesting because it's so easy to get, like, wrapped up in all the stuff that we have to do. And we've been talking a lot just between us lately about David Allen, who wrote the Getting Things Done, which is...
Oh, my God, I've been so into him lately.
Yeah,
it's just,
because I've blown off my to-do list. I, like, usually live and die by my to-do list, so I blew it off for a month. I was, like, so overwhelmed that I'd, like, sit down and not even look at it.
Yeah.
And it's, like... The whole David Allen thing, it's so much about fear.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like it's a productivity book, but it's really a book about fear. It's a book about eating a bagel before you look at your to-do list.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. And
I just love that.
The one of the lines I think I read from him, he has a couple books, you know, branched off, but I'm not sure which one it was in. But he talked about the idea, and this is so true, and everyone would say, oh, of course, it's obvious, but you don't really, doesn't hit home. Is the idea that when you die, you will still have a to-do list that's full.
Right.
And life will go on.
Are freaked out about that, but it's true. It's like, okay, so that kind of like puts things in perspective. And it kind of fits in with the idea that in the article you'd written, you'd said about, you know, that what overworked people need to do is experiment with cutting corners and getting comfortable with ignoring some tasks. And ironically, the people most need to follow this are the ones who most resist it. And, you know,
the perfectionism thing, I mean, people really, like, when people get annoyed by me, they're annoyed by my lack of perfectionism. But I have never suffered professionally from a lack of perfectionism. Like, people say they value it, but in fact, they don't. Mm-hmm. And I think perfectionism is, like, totally from fear. It's like fear that people won't think you're perfect, fear that people won't think you're great. Like today I just wrote this blog post and I titled it Take the Test to Find Out If You Have a Good Job, and then I totally forgot to write the test. I don't know how I did it. I like wrote the whole post and I forgot to write the test, and then somebody posted, you know, I don't mean to be rude, but is there a test here? And I was like, hey, you're totally right.
Thanks.
That's a great idea.
And, you know, nobody thinks that I'm stupid because I forgot the test.
Right.
They just don't. They might think that I'm, like, careless or something else, but they don't go to stupid. They don't dislike me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the whole, like, the prioritizing thing and the cutting corners is about self-respect. People think that perfectionism is about self-respect, but really cutting corners is about self-respect because you're focusing on what you care about.
That's so true. That's a really interesting twist on it, because you think it's, you know, everyone else putting it on you, which I think is where the overwork comes from. It's easy to whine and complain and say, well, it's out of my hands. I can't, you know, handle this. And you'll never understand. My boss is a tyrant.
Right,
and
which really ties in. One of the things we love about your approach is, you know, we talk that there's a big difference between being childlike and childish. And you often, I think this is where the brazen part comes in, you know, say, you know, it's time to become an adult and take responsibility, stop complaining, stop, you know, whining. And this is what many overworked people and people all over the board tend to do. And what they really need to do is realize that their situation is not different, as they like to claim that it is, and work on themselves and their time management skills.
And the fear.
And it appears to me that you have a lot of passion on this subject. So I'd love to hear you vent / elaborate further.
This is what I was just thinking, is that, you know, we don't put up with fat people blaming other people. Like, you would never hear a fat person be like, it's my boss's fault that I'm fat.
Yeah.
But, like, overworked people are exactly like fat people. Like, they're lacking self-discipline. They're not being true to their priorities. They're not admitting that they're the sole cause of their own problem. And it's so weird that it's totally acceptable to, like, go to a bar with friends and be like, oh, my God, it's so much work. And I want to be like, you know what, shut up. Go to your boss and tell your boss you're not doing so much. And if you're so scared of being fired, I mean, we have 2% unemployment for college-educated people. So if you're scared of being fired, you are such a low performer.
Yeah,
you could be so lame to not be able to get another job in this market.
Right.
And so I just think everybody who is walking around saying that they're overworked should be, like, embarrassed. Like, a fat person being like, oh, my boss is making me fat. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
That's a great image to compare it to, because it is that extreme, but it's so not accepted like that, you know? It's so victim mentality.
And it's not fair. Let me just say that I'm standing up for fat people right now. I mean, I am, because because we are so hard on fat people. Like, they can never complain, but, like, all these other problems that are so similar, we let people complain about, but it's all about self-discipline and like, you know, being childlike and the distinction you're making. It's about taking personal responsibility. And whereas we don't put up with lack of personal responsibility from fat people, we put up with it from so many other people, and we shouldn't.
That's so
Well, it's
true.
Funny, because to me it almost comes across as a badge of honor, as if you have a couple people at a bar and they're saying how busy they are, and then the next person has to say how busy they are and how many hours they worked, and it's like, you're an idiot, you know? Like,
right, totally. That's why I want to hang out with you guys.
Yeah.
I want to hang out and be like, wow, I did nothing today, and we'll feel really studly. Like, great priorities.
I love, too, that you say that not being a perfectionist has never, like, been bad for your career. That is so refreshing, because, you know, it's like, especially being kind of the entrepreneur spirit, it's like you think you have to work, you know, around the clock, and there's not really a boss telling you what you need to do, and I think there's a deadly trap in that. So it's kind of nice to say, let it go, you know, cut the corners and sleep well at night.
A lot of getting to that is knowing what you're great at, because once you know what you're great at, you know not to be there. And to, you know, like, I would never post something totally stupid. Like, I would go 4 days without writing before I would post something that I think is moronic, because my core competency is not writing like a moron, right? So, but all the other stuff, other stuff is not a core competency.
Okay.
So, like, I feel like a lot of people can write like morons. You know, a math major can write like a moron. Who cares? They're a math major. They just should do their math well. And I think people, you know, Renaissance people are great for the Renaissance, but we don't really reward that anymore. And so people should just cut corners for the Renaissance part.
Yeah. I wanted to bring up, too, I love another point. It's probably a month ago or so, I wrote a blog post about the new American dream, which was really inspired by one of the things you had written. And in an article you had written about it, you said, the American dream is about time, personal growth, and relationships. Our dream is not about accumulating money to do what we want at the end. We're hell-bent on doing what we love the whole way. And I love that. I think that's the whole childlike mentality of, like,
live for
life
today,
you know?
And
not
you
be stupid
totally
about
live
it,
that.
But yeah.
And I also feel like I can sniff people out. Do you feel like that? But you can sniff people out right away, like, are they doing this or not?
Yeah.
So true. Yeah. Very cool. Well, we always end our interviews. I know this went so fast.
Thanks. I know.
For
we definitely will have to do lunch.
Yeah. We could chat for hours. But we always end our interviews by asking a question that relates back to your childhood to get you kind of thinking back a little bit. So in the spirit of talking about time management and overcommitting and overscheduling, tell us what you spent most of your time doing as a kid, and have any of those things carried over into your adult life?
Right. Well, I was a latchkey kid. I ran the whole house. We had charge accounts at every store in our town, and we just ran the whole house by ourselves.
Uh-huh.
And so there were good and bad things to that. I was a really good time manager, because I had to, like, pack my lunch before I left in the morning in first grade. But the other thing about that is that I lived in the library, because I was, like, you know, I needed, every kid wants adult supervision. This is probably why I can, like, rant for hours and hours about latchkey kids. But everyone wants supervision, so I went to the library. And what I got from the library is that books can save you. And, like, sharing knowledge with people is a way to get community. Like, the librarians were my community. And I feel like I always told myself that that was, like, such a crazy childhood and I would never recreate it. But I actually see that blogging has totally recreated that part of my childhood that I loved, where everyone is learning about stuff they're interested in and everyone's talking about what they're learning about. And it's really open, like there are no wrong answers, just like better and better questions. And so to me, like what I'm doing now in the blogosphere is it's just the very best part of my childhood and it makes me so happy.
That's awesome. It never ceases to amaze me how people who are doing what they love mm-hmm. can trace something back to their childhood that it
oh,
merges
really?
Up. Yep. Yeah. It's uncanny. I don't know. We asked Brett Farmelo from Pursue the Passion. We interviewed him a couple months ago, and we asked him what one of his favorite things to do as a kid, and he said he loved this specific video game. What was it called? Like Road Trip or something like that? It was like,
something like
the whole
that.
Video game was about
traveling around the country.
And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And that's what
that
he does
in so
going around interviewing people. But it's like, so that's one of the things I try to get people to think about if they are in a job they hate, is to look back at their childhood and see if they can figure out clues to help them kind of steer them in a better direction.
Reigniting that
Oh my
passion.
God, I love that.
So
I love that.
It's
really uncanny.
Cool.
So it's so cool to hear yours and how it, you're right, the blog community is all about more questions and I love it. It's so fun to connect with people all around the world and just keep the conversation going, like you said.
Yeah.
Right. That's a great example. I have to like go look at everyone's childhood now and overanalyze them.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Okay, well, we want to remind everyone, and this will be in the show notes, but feel free to check out PenelopeTrunk.com for more. You can read her blog and all of the great insights
awesome
she has.
And
then, of course, her book is Brazen Careers, The New Rules for Success, which is a really great book. And Penelope, we just want to thank you again for taking the time to chat with us and sharing some of your unique insights with us and our audience.
Thanks. It was really fun to meet you guys.
You too. We'll talk soon.
Take care, Penelope.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
That girl is, she's a smart girl, isn't she?
Yeah, she's funky.
Very fun. I just love, I'm attracted to people who are real.
Mm-hmm.
And she is definitely real. You know, she tells it like it is. She's honest with her faults. And boy, if we could just get everyone to just kind of drop the charade be themselves, and man, this world would be fun.
Definitely.
You know?
And you know, recently we've been described as a combination of Dr. Phil and Mr. Rogers,
mm-hmm.
which I love. And I think Penelope definitely has that Dr. Phil hat where it's like, enough people,
right.
You know, let's get, what's his line?
Get real.
Get real.
Get real.
Yeah. And that is what she is. She is real. And it is, like you said, it's very contagious. So.
Yeah. She's like Dr. Phil for the workplace.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool.
Today, one of these lucky contestants will win his or her weight in fish right here on Real Hot Fish.
Oh, goody, goody. I've done a good thing, and I get a prize.
Last month's promotion was what is something from your childhood that you still do today to escape? So we had David from Colorado write in. Thank you, David, for taking the time.
He's the winner.
Yes. Yep. He wrote, "When I was little, my older sister and I would escape by watching the stars on summer nights. We'd lay in the grass in our backyard and take it all in while also trying to find the constellations. Now, as an adult, I still enjoy my time under the stars, now with my wife and two daughters, although I need to make more time to just sit and take it all in."
Don't we all?
Yes, definitely. So thank you, David, for doing that. We'll send you out the prize. And, you know,
it's an appropriate one as the summer winds down, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know if, well, I don't, I haven't thought about it with the other places, but we've been having some beautiful moons, mm-hmm. like the full moons lately, which I feel so bad for all the teachers going back to school with that full moon. But
it's kind of a weird thing where the kids act all rambunctious yes. during the full moon parts of the month.
Which is
huh?
a great time to start the new school
yeah,
year.
That's good for them.
But just nature is a great way, as David said, to get back to that.
So what is our question this month? We're going to give away another $20 gift certificate to
yes.
the lemonade stand.
Yes, we are. And this is the same question we asked Penelope. So what did you spend most of your time doing as a kid? And we'd love to hear it because it also kind of reminds us of what we need to get back to as an adult.
Totally.
Welcome to KimandJason.com.
Supply of misinformation is Mr. Noda.
We are going on tour. Yes, we leave in about a week, and we have quite a few events around the country, which we're totally pumped about. First time to see Arizona mm-hmm. and the Grand Canyon, which, much to my disappointment, we're not going to be probably riding mules down it like I had hoped, but
you can go on my shoulder.
Okay, long story, emails about it if you want to hear it. But so we're gonna be in Arizona, North Carolina, California, Minnesota, I don't know where else, Florida, a number of places. So mm-hmm. kind of excited to get back on the road. I know summers are lighter for us for our travel, so we're all energized and rejuvenated.
The office is almost
settled. Yeah, so it's perfect timing
back to the craziness of the road.
Get back and live out of a suitcase for a couple months, so yeah. I'm excited.
We have some, I guess we have a little bit of availability towards the end of this year,
yes.
and then some in the spring. So if anyone out there is, excuse me, listening and interested in seeing if we can work something out to talk about how to be less stressed and have more
yeah.
fun,
and
give
how
us
it
an
applies
email.
To your workplace or your civic organization or your church or, you know.
We always like going to new places
yeah.
and revisiting old places. So check us out at KimandJason.com. The other cool thing we have coming out is some more adultitis fighting materials.
Yes.
Our first printed issue of our magazine.
Yes, the Escape Adulthood magazine.
If some of you fans may remember, we released one in the summer that was download, still is, free download. And the next one, I think, will still be a free download, but the paper version we're printing up, it'll be part of a subscription mm-hmm. for Club K&J members. So they will get that in their mailbox probably within the next couple weeks.
Yes.
I'm hoping to send it to print today, next day or so. And totally excited about that because
yeah.
it turned out good. We have an interview with Mark Sanborn, mm-hmm. who is the author of the book The Fred Factor. And he actually won the Cavett Award at this year's National Speakers Association convention, which goes to basically like the MVP
yeah, it's like the
of
highest
the speaking
honor.
World.
Yeah.
So we got that in there. We've got some other great stories.
Some tips on how to escape adulthood in Colorado Springs and
17 ways to balance your life.
Yeah, that's a great one.
It's kind of the theme of our issue is balance. And the other thing we have coming out after a long, long time of development
yeah. is 2 years almost.
Yes, the escape plan. The escape plan journal.
Yes.
And many of you remember us doing the escape plan almost 2 years ago now, a year and a half at least. And we made it into a book. And it's been the basis of our Escape Plan TV episodes. But now the book is coming out that documents our experience, documents some of the other people who did it. And
space to add your own.
Space
entries.
To add your own.
Yep.
It's kind of like a field guide. And I'm totally excited about it because it's turned out really cool. And hopefully that'll be up by the end of the month. We'll have that published and released. So
that's one of those neat products that, you know, we didn't create the escape plan for products. We created it for our life mm-hmm. to be able to do things to force us to think and act in a more childlike way. And it's like one of those things where people just globbed on. And as we speak, we have a couple in mm-hmm. Australia who are doing it and recording it on their blog.
Yeah,
so it's so cool because you just think, these challenges are really affecting people. So hopefully this journal will be a hands-on guide to do it.
Help more people fight adultitis.
Definitely.
There it is. The holy grail of Christmas gifts. The Red Ryder 200-shot range model air rifle.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like. That is so cool.
Cool.
Oh, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
The cool thing this month is, when I was younger, we had sticker books.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And basically, my mom wouldn't get us like the real sticker book. She just got us like cheap photo albums from like the dollar store. Mm-hmm. And we had to put them on the outside of
the kind that you couldn't really peel the stickers back.
Exactly.
Off.
Yeah. They weren't really sticker books. They were just books to put your stickers in and never be able to get them back out.
But that's too long to put on the cover. So,
yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe it was just my childhood, but stickers are very childlike.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we have some fun stickers that we have on our lemonade stand, but they're inanimate object stickers. So basically,
inanimate. Okay.
I say that word wrong. Did I say it wrong? Inanimate.
No. wrong.
Inanimate.
Very good.
Okay.
That'll work.
So basically, we've got little smiley faces. We've got scary mouths. We've got eyes.
Yeah, because here's the thing. You work and you have all these office supplies on your desk,
right,
which are boring.
Right.
Right.
Staplers.
You got a stupid old stapler. You got a coffee mug. Maybe the coffee
calculator.
Mug has something on it. Maybe it doesn't. Calculator. Yeah, all that stuff. And these stickers.
Yes. These little face feature stickers will be what you can put on those boring things on your desk to give them a little life.
Yeah. So eyes, mouths.
Your boring old stapler can now have shark teeth and a funny eye. And, you know, so it's just a playful thing. There's lots of different ones. In fact, mm-hmm. we just recently gave this to Jason's dad.
You could give your computer a face
so
if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Your mouse.
And the different variety of types of facial features is fun. This little
lips
that are like kissing lips or whatever.
Yeah.
So check it out. It's playful, fun.
Inanimate
object stickers.
There you go. Check it out. The lemonade stand. Well, it's that time of show. The mind bender answer. Kim finally just saw
yes.
the answer. What is the average rainfall around the world? And I believe, Kim, you guessed 38 inches.
I did.
And the answer is, well, you're wrong.
Well,
first of all.
Oh, come on. It's 40.
40 inches. That's pretty
well, you're wrong.
Pretty close. That was better than a couple shows back where you guessed that Michael Jackson performed at the Olympics, some such
well,
thing like that.
Breakdancing.
So you're coming along. You're coming along. 40 inches is the average rainfall around the world, and there's a good chance that Madison might break that.
I think it's supposed to rain all weekend.
This year. So
yeah.
There you go. Mindbender answer.
What's up, Doc? No, this won't hurt a bit.
We've done a lot of talking on this show about being overworked, and I think what it all comes down to it is if you're overworked, it's your fault.
Yes.
So the prescription for today, okay, something tangible you can do to kind of this final parting tip is experiment by cutting corners. Experiment with which things you do at work can kind of fall through the cracks without anyone noticing. All right, it's kind of like a good tangible thing to just kind of like say, okay, prioritize in your own mind, this might not be that important. Try letting it fall through the cracks. If no one notices,
no big
guess
deal.
What?
Yeah.
Don't have to do it anymore, right?
Right.
So that,
and it's not irresponsible. This is just a strategy for time management.
Right, right. And the reality, like Penelope talked about, is we don't have to be perfect, and people aren't expecting us to be perfect, and you're not going to lose out if you're not perfect.
Right.
Which I think was a huge thing that she talked about. So experiment and see which of the things you have on your list can fall through the cracks without anyone noticing. That's your prescription of the week.
I actually am going to try this in my own life with the laundry.
Ah, okay.
And see if anyone notices.
Interesting.
No, but there are ways to incorporate this at home, too.
Yes. So there you go. There's your prescription for this episode.
That's it for today's show. Be sure to check out escapeadulthood.com for today's show notes featuring links from some of the things we talked about here today. For Jason, this is Kim signing off from Madison, Wisconsin. Thanks for listening, and remember, it's never too late to have a second childhood.
It's a little childish and stupid, but then so is high school.